church. As Ben has already mentioned, some of you might find today's message a little bit challenging, but I want to assure you that if you are here today in church, you are meant to hear this message, because I wasn't meant to preach it and this topic wasn't meant to be on today. So even though it might be a difficult topic, if you're here, this message is actually for you. And it's for me too, because I've been wrestling with some of this week. And so I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to all of you. So I don't think that this is just for you. I'm here to learn from myself as I share. All right, so our year's theme has been In His Footsteps, but our theme for the month has been Signs and Wonders, about the miraculous things that God can and does do and the way that he performs over all things. And we've been talking about God's authority, Jesus' authority. And today we're talking about Jesus' authority and his power over life and death. Now, during the week, there was a funeral just up here on the corner, and Ben and I noticed that the reason we noticed there was a funeral, first of all, was the street was full, there's extra cars in our car park, and everyone was wearing black. Now, for me personally, I've specifically chosen, I hope you like my attire, but I've specifically chosen bright colours. Because for me, when I go to a funeral, particularly if it's someone who believes in Jesus, I don't want to wear black. I want to wear the brightest things that are in my wardrobe, because I know that they're with Jesus and it's a celebration. And so even though this is a difficult topic today, I'm wearing my party clothes, because I know that even though there's some tough things to talk about, this is also a time to also have celebration and hope. So we're going to be looking at John chapter 11 and what Jesus did with the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. But before we go any further, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we are people who are broken, and we are filled with sorrow and grief and sadness and struggles and trials. But we know that in you there is hope. We know that in you that we can find fresh hope for today and tomorrow and this next week and the next month and the next year. So Jesus, we're asking and praying that today you'll give us ears to hear your message, and that you'll soften our heart for what it is that you want us to hear your Holy Spirit speak to us personally. Lord, don't just let us hear the word. Let us be changed by your word. Let us be changed by your word and by you. Amen. So we're going to look at John chapter 11 and the death of Lazarus. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. I don't know, but every time I read Thomas, I just think of Eeyore. He's always just a bit down in the dumps. Oh, let us also go that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. All right, so let's just pause there for a minute. So Jesus gets the message that Lazarus is sick. He's sick and he's asked, please come because he's sick. Please come to help him, to heal him. And Jesus goes, Lazarus is sick. I think I'll just stay where I am a couple more days. And actually, then I'm going to wander off and do something else in a different direction. And then he says, oh, now I'm going to turn around and go back. And then when he finally arrives there, Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. That's days of waiting. That's days of hoping. That's days of sorrow. And honestly, that's days of rotting. So where was Jesus and what was he doing? Well, I've got a little map here and I just want to point out where, first of all, Bethany is, the town of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, and also where Jesus was and went. So this is Bethany, that little arrow there. It's just below Jerusalem. And Jesus was in this vicinity here. He went up to beyond the Jordan, up towards Galilee, which is a few days' walk, 3-4 days, depending on how much he's walking and talking and teaching and healing as he goes along. So he knows that Lazarus is sick. He doesn't go to them, and then he's off in a different direction, and then he's got to wander and do a big U-turn and come all the way back. And then Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. But it's never too late. With Jesus, it's never too late. It's never too late. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. I've just gone back for a minute. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Wait, I just want to pause there for a minute. Hang on. If he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus so much, why did he go in the wrong direction and take so long to come back? And then he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said, let's go back to Judea and the opposite. Yes, I don't know. That just doesn't really make any sense, does it? Except for the little bit before it, it says, no, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. I want you to hold that in your mind. Jesus did love Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He loved them deeply, but he had a bigger plan. He had a bigger picture. You see, it's never too late. So now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. And then she says this, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. That's faith. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, one of the I am statements. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That the one who believes in me will live, and even though they die, that whoever believes in me will never die and keep on living? Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She didn't add, but anything you still do, I will believe in. She'd lost hope. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Jesus has a heart of compassion. He has a heart of compassion for each and every one of us. And when he sees us in trouble, when he sees us grieving, when he sees us filled with sorrow, know that Jesus is deeply moved. Know that Jesus is filled with compassion and he weeps with us. He weeps over us. God is not indifferent to our struggles. God is not indifferent to our suffering. God has a bigger picture. You see, Proverbs says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the one who sticks closer to us than any person we know. He is always there, and he's promised never to leave us, never to abandon us. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could he not, he who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. And it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. It's never too late. It is never too late.
It's never too late. There were two other moments when Jesus brought healing from people that had died. In Luke 7, 11 to 17, we find the widow of Nain. Here's this lady who's lost a husband. She only has one son. And in her grief and in her concern, the big funeral procession is moving into the town of Nain. And just at the gates, we find Jesus looking on and he has compassion on her. We just read what Helen said about Lazarus. Jesus looking at the crowd and their grief. Jesus had compassion. And in his compassion, he just walks over. And he just puts his hand on the briar, I think they call it briar, or beer. And then all of a sudden he said, rise up. The widow of Nain, she didn't even ask for him to do anything. He just had that compassion, and this son raises up. She would have thought, it's too late, it's too late, it's too late, I've lost my son. Remember, in that community, for a widow to lose a son meant she's lost her future. She's lost her hope. She already lost her husband, and now she's lost her son. The grief would have been tremendous, and Jesus in his compassion comes along. It's not too late here, and raises her from the dead. And then in Mark 5, 21 to 43, we have Jairus' daughter. Jesus has just come back from a trip on the boats with his disciples. And here's Jairus, who's the synagogue leader, the man in charge of the synagogue, just calling out, finding out where is Jesus, because his daughter is dying. And he's got the community together. Where is Jesus? Finally, Jesus, Jesus, come. My daughter is sick. My daughter is unwell. Please come. And Jesus said, I will come with you. Come and lay a hand on her and she will be healed. So as Jesus is walking through the crowd, there's a woman that's been bleeding for 12 years. Used up all her money on doctors, trying to find some sort of hope. And so you can imagine the crowd is moving, and Jairus is quick, Jesus, quick, quick, come. And this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years reaches out just in faith and reaches, if I could just touch his cloak, if I could just touch his clothes, maybe there's hope. And as she touches the clothes, she feels instantly healed. And you can imagine in her embarrassment, she just wants to move away just quietly. And Jesus stops everyone. Jesus stops everyone and says, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? Who touched me? And the disciples all saying, look at those people everywhere. What do you mean, who's touching me? And Jairus says, come on, we need to go. My daughter's dying. Jesus said, no, I need to find out. And then this woman says, it was me. I did that, and I'm fully healed. And just at that moment, with the stopping and the commotion and finding out this woman who's been healed, some people come and say, Jairus, it's too late. Your daughter has died. Your daughter has died. I think just that moment, Jairus is thinking, it's too late. It's too late. And you can almost hear him blaming this woman, like, you stopped him from coming to my daughter's rescue. You stopped. Like, you can feel some sort of anger, what's going on? But Jesus said, it's okay. And then we find Jesus going to the house, and there's mourners there, and they're crying. And Jesus is saying, no, she's only sleeping, and they're laughing at her. If you look, there's scorn towards Jesus. We know she's dead. What do you mean she's sleeping? And Jesus, once again, in his compassion, reaches out, says, Talitha kum, little girl, rise up. This occasion of it's just too late. Often we think that things are just too late, or it's too hard. Or we put things in our mind that it's in some box here. Once we get past this line, it's too late. It's hopeless. There's no hope. It's so easy for us to get caught into that. Dealing with relationships. Oh, it's too hopeless. It's too hard. It's too late. Dealing with struggles. It's never too late.
It's never too late. And yet we can be sitting here and we can be wrestling and saying, Jesus, there's so many times I've called out to you and I've been waiting more than 4 days. It's been 4 days, 4 months, 4 years, 40 years. And I feel like you've kept walking in the wrong direction. When are you going to turn around and notice me? When are you going to act on the things that I've called out to you on? Perhaps you're wrestling with broken relationships or disease or finances or work situations or homelessness or addictions or anxiety or depression. Maybe there's something that's not even up there. Or maybe it feels like you've got a whole bowl full of stuff that you are just waiting for Jesus to bring some healing to. And yet, we know that God has authority over all things, and he says it's never too late. I want to share a couple of stories. The first story that I want to share is about my mother-in-law and frogs. Now, for those who know me, I don't really like frogs very much. It all stems back to primary school when a boy who liked me put a frog in my desk. I know, classic little movie line, lift up my desk and a frog blips out towards me. I've been horrified ever since. I'm getting better, but I still don't like the little things. They're unpredictable. But Ben's mum loved frogs. And they had a creek at the back of their house. And so every now and then frogs would come into the house and they would somehow get in the house and not be able to find their way back out again. And they would die. So do you know what she would do? She would get these little frogs. She would get a saucer full of water. She would soak them in the water and then she would start just doing a little bit of CPR on them. I'm totally serious. And do you know what? Those frogs would come back to life. She could resurrect frogs. Personally, I didn't see the need to resurrect the frogs. I would have quite happily thrown them back out the door. But she would resurrect these little frogs and then release them back to the creek. You see, she saw their worth. She saw their worth. And sometimes we need to have a fresh set of glasses. We need to see the worth of the people around us. We need to see the worth of the situations we're in. And sometimes we need to see our own worth. Sometimes we need to see how God sees us. We need to see how God sees us. You know, for the longest time, I didn't like myself. I didn't like my name. I didn't like the way that I looked. I didn't think that I had anything to offer. Until God spoke to me very strongly about that. Very strongly about that. You see, I had often told God that I would quite happily die. Now, God has rescued me on many, 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 many occasions. And he's saved my life for a purpose, for his good and for his glory, and because he loves me deeply. And he loves each of you deeply too. Now, my life is still filled with sickness and sorrow and suffering. But that doesn't change the fact that he loves me. Your life might be filled with hardship too, but it doesn't change the fact that he loves you. It doesn't change the fact that he is deeply moved and troubled in his spirit by you. It doesn't change the fact that he has a different set of glasses than yours when he looks down at you. That he sees you and he loves you and he sees a bigger picture, a different picture than the way that you see your life. The way that you see your life and your story might be one big mess, and yet God knows that it has the capacity to be a story that gives him all the glory. You see, we said at the beginning that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? No matter what kind of life we live now, no matter how chaotic it might be, no matter how messed up it might be at times, when we believe in Jesus, we have the promise that we can live happily ever after with him for all eternity. And that is a huge blessing. That is the rainbow at the end of the story. That is the joy that allows us to keep going. That is the hope. That is the promise that we have for those who believe in him. You know, I've always loved the words of what Mary, different Mary, Mary the son of Jesus, Mary. Yes, Mary the mother of Jesus. This is what happens when you put sermons together late at night. I love the words that she says when an angel comes to her and says that she is going to bear a child even though she's a virgin. Now that is mind-blowing, right? And she is told that she is going to be the mother of the promised Messiah. And she says, not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. And then she goes on to say, may it be to me as you have said. May it be to me as you have said. You know, I think that that's a phrase that we can repeat as Christians. There is not one promise from God that is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. So may it be to me as you have said. God has a story for your life. And he wants to magnify himself and glorify himself in you and through you. And it doesn't matter what looks dead or chaotic right now, he can bring that to life. He can turn that around. He can use that as an avenue for you to share the truth of who you know and who you are with others. You see, it's never too late. It's never too late. God has the capacity to use you to share the truth of the gospel with others. Yeah. Do you believe that? Yeah. Do you believe that? We believe in a God who can do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. And sometimes we get to see it. We just heard about Lena, who was told that she needed to put her affairs in order to get ready to go to a hospice because all her organs were failing. And now, within 1 week, her kidneys have gone from 9% to 24% and she's being discharged and sent home. A while ago, we had a Pam who was told the same thing, that she needed to put her affairs in order because she was dying. She calls Ben in, says, Ben, can you please come and pray with me? I'm just surrendering to God. And all of a sudden, she's miraculously healed. There's something about your prayers, Ben. Well, you prayed the wrong prayer. I don't know what it is. You need to pray those prayers more often. But I know that that's not everybody's story. That's not everybody's story. Not everybody gets miraculously healed. Not everybody gets the miracle that they're longing and they're hoping for. And yet, Jesus is moved by compassion with you and for you. And he loves you deeply. And he wants you to know it's never too late. And he's waiting for you for all eternity. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, sometimes we get so caught up in all of our troubles and our trials We get so caught up in what we are doing and what we are feeling and the mess that we are in. And yet, God, you call us to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. You call us to still have faith, to still keep being a Martha and saying, yet, Lord, even now, I believe that you will do whatever you say. Lord, some of us have been grieving these last couple of weeks. Some of us feel that things are beyond hope, they have become impossible. Some of us are feeling dry. Some of us are feeling hopeless. And yet, Jesus, you want us to know that you love us deeply, that you are moved by compassion. You are moved by compassion for us and over us. And you weep over us. And that you are constantly wanting to change our story, and we have a happy ever after ending waiting for us, even if we don't get to taste the fullness of it now. Lord, help us not to become disappointed and so discouraged that we turn our hearts away from you. Help us not to become so discouraged that we think that we have to do it all ourselves. But help us to keep hoping and praying and believing in a God who is the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.